I'm so thankful that you're here today. I'm so thankful that you're here today. This is the next in the series of Reckless. Brother Eddie, did you get to see him while you were gone? I love that. How many of you know John and Shirley were watching last week too? Hi, John. Hi, Shirley. Hi, Damon. We have people watching. And we have a camera up there that watches you. So be careful of what you do, lest it be aired on the internet. So we don't want to see any of this. All right? Yeah, we can tell if you're on your cell phone. You get a call from me sometime during the week, and it's like, wow, why is he calling me? You might have been caught. You know, you just never know. We're talking about reckless. Reckless. I tell you what. That is about as reckless as it gets. Going down the freeway riding a wheelie. I've seen it, and I thought, what a fool. One rock in the wrong spot, road rash for days. But we're talking this week, we're talking about reckless generosity. And we need to be just that reckless with our generosity. Just that reckless. Vicki, will you go ahead and show that? You don't have to hear it, just kind of watch if you can see it. It's in French, so you're not going to understand it. Can you see what he's doing? He's digging a hole in an ant hill or a termite hill. And there's a monkey. And now he's sticking a nut in the hole. And now he's going to wait. And sure enough, but he's stuck in that hole to get the better of that monkey. How many of you feel like a monkey sometimes?
Yeah.
Pay dirt. Oh no. Oh no. Oh no, I can't get away. I can't get away. Oh no. Help me, help me, help me, help me. Oh no. Then he let go, finally. It was too late. It's too late. No, the rest of the video is he keeps him tied up to the tree. He ties him up to the tree and he feeds him salty things. And then after a while, when the salt has taken its toll on and made the monkey thirsty, he lets the monkey go and the monkey takes him straight to water. See, the monkey knows where the water is. He doesn't. See, how often do we do the same thing that monkey does? We grab a hold of something and we won't let go of it, and then next thing you know, we're trapped. And all he had to do, open his hand. But the monkey was too greedy to let go, just like sometimes we're too greedy to let go. We're going to hold on to it with all we have. We're not going to let go of it. And next thing you know, we're trapped by the enemy. We're owned by the enemy. Father, thank you for your word and thank you for the blessing of your presence. Lord, I ask, Lord, that your word go and, Lord, that it find good soil and that it bear fruit. Lord, that we're changed by what we hear today. Lord, not just moved emotionally, but Father, that we're actually changed by the Spirit in us. Lord, may the words that I speak be your words, not mine. And may those watching by video and those in this room, may they see you and not me. Father, I have nothing to offer but you. And you are more than enough. Thank you for it. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. See, there's a biblical outlook that we need to have for generosity. And the things, these three things, they go counter-culturally. You know what counter-culturally is, right? It means they're opposite of what our culture, it's opposite of what our society is saying, and that's the biblical point of view. Quite honestly, it's the correct point of view. And the world's view, this cultural view that we have, that we've adopted, and it's crept into the church. It has crept into the church. One of the things that goes countercultural, that's anti-culture, is I have a lot. See, because by the cultural standards of our day, the cultural standards in this country, if you don't make a certain amount of money, you don't have very much. If you don't have a brand new car, if you don't have a motorhome, if you don't have a fifth wheel trailer, if your kids don't go to the best schools, trying to get your kids into the best schools can sometimes have ill effects. Just ask Lori Loughlin. They bought into the thing. See, she spent all that money and guaranteed her daughter probably won't even earn the degree. She'll probably buy the degree. Like the majority of college students do today. They buy their degrees. They don't earn them. They buy them. But God is saying, you have a lot. We spend time comparing ourselves to other people and what other people have. And the worst avenue of that is Facebook. We compare ourselves to the highlight reel of somebody's life on Facebook. Folks, those are the highlights. That's the highlights. That's not the everyday thing. The everyday thing is the pictures of what they're eating. Well, I made this today. Looks good, doesn't it? It's a highlight reel. It's not reality. You have a lot. Compared to the rest of the world, you are rich. If you have a roof over your head, if you have food to eat, if you have clean water, you are richer than 90% of the people in this world. But to hear tell it by our culture, well, if you don't have all this, you don't have nothing. You're poor. Even if you're on food stamps and you are on whatever it is, you know, you get the food stamps and you get what the government, on the dole, as they say, if that's, you're still rich. There are countries where the average income for a day is $2.50. You spend more than that at $5. Let me translate, Starbucks. Can't get out of that place for less than $20. I gotcha. You have a lot, despite what you might think, despite what the enemy is putting into your mind, you have a lot. You have a lot. And don't let anyone tell you you don't. Don't feel less than because you might not be making more than somebody else. You might be making less than somebody else because you don't have the education that somebody else has. You don't have the experience. You don't have the skill set that somebody else has. But it doesn't mean that you don't have much. You have your health. There are people in this world who would give their right arm for health. I know one man in Fresno who's glad he has his health. Those of you on the prayer chain, I sent out yesterday for Jim and Denise's son-in-law, Josh, had pulmonary embolisms. He had all in his lungs, and his heart was enlarged. Well, the embolisms, blood clots, they're all dissolved. And his heart is like it's supposed to be. All glory goes to God. He's got his health now because we prayed and God answered. And another thing that goes counter to cultural belief is that everything we have is a gift. Everything is a gift. Culture says, well, I earned this. Yeah, and if it wasn't for God, you wouldn't have the ability to earn that. So it's a gift because God gave you the ability to do that, so you didn't earn it, God did. See, God does call us to be diligent and to work hard. All you got to do is read Proverbs. Slackers are fools. Lazy people are fools. God's called us to that. But God gave you the ability to not be a slacker, to not be lazy. The one I like the most, the proverb I like the most that talking about lazy people is that a lazy man says that there's a lion in the street. Wow. Talk about creativity in trying to avoid work. What an imagination. There's a lion in the street. There's a lion in the street. Oh no, I can't go do anything. Really? That's pathetic. God gives us every breath, every day. He gives us our abilities. He gives us our mind to think. He gives us the strength to work. God makes it possible for each one to have what we have. Everything is a gift from God. And another one that goes counter to cultural belief is that it's mine. You don't own anything. If anything, it owns you. You don't own anything. It doesn't belong to you as a child of God, and you all say you're children of God. It doesn't belong to you. What you have belongs to the Almighty. What you have is just being given to you for you to steward. You don't own it. Guaranteed you don't own it because in a flash, it could be gone. You ask those people in Paradise, California, how much do those buildings that they owned, they were gone like that. You can have it and then it'll be gone in a flash. You don't own it. It's a gift from God. But I paid for it. Yeah, you paid for it. Where did you get the money? From working. And who gave you the ability to work? So it doesn't belong to you. See, at the end of the day, followers of Jesus do not live with clenched fists like the monkey with a hand in a trap. We have to live with our hands open. saying, God, it all belongs to you. And I'll do with whatever I have, however you want me to do it. Heard a story one time of somebody who had a Mont Blanc pen. How many of you know what a Mont Blanc pen is? A Mont Blanc pen is a very, very expensive pen. I don't know why they're so expensive. A pen writes like a pen, every other pen. I don't know, unless it's solid gold or something. I don't know, but Mont Blanc pens, if you look it up, you can Google it, find out how much you want to pay for a Mont Blanc. But Mont Blancs are, and a guy had one. He was given it as a gift. God told him to give it away. And he gave it away. Because it didn't belong to him. It belonged to God. God wanted him to bless somebody else with that pen. And in turn, that person, if they realized that that pen didn't belong to them either, then they would be able to bless somebody else. And it's the same thing with everything that we have, everything in our lives. It's ours, but it belongs to God, and we take it, and we bless others with what we have. If God says to give it to somebody, you give it to somebody. If God says sell it, you sell it, and give the money to missions. It's not yours. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. So does the tax man. It's not yours. When we live with our hands open, freedom comes, and God can use the resources he's placed in our hands to be a blessing to others. Amen. We hold open hands. Now, I don't know, but this iPad was a gift, even though it says I belong to Lee Hartman on the back, it says property of. But if God told me to give this, I don't know why anybody would want this one. It's an iPad 2, so it's really old. But if God told me to give this to somebody, I would give it to somebody. Because it's not mine. And quite honestly, it was a gift and a blessing from God because I didn't do anything to get it. Somebody else did. I won this when I was a service sales rep for Cintas. You know what Cintas is, uniform company. And they would have these, I forget what, promotions where you try to sell more product, and the more you sold, if you sold a certain amount of product and increased the volume of your route, then, you know, you would win an iPad. And one day my sales manager, he comes to me and he goes, he says, you want an iPad? I said, I did. He said, yeah. I said, oh. And I knew exactly how I had done it because I had just, not too long before that, there was a new sales rep in my area. And he was really gung-ho. And he sold a lot of product on my route. And I reaped the benefits of somebody else's work. I'm not a salesman. I'm not a salesman. My philosophy is if you want something that I'm selling, you're going to ask me for it. I'm not going to come and badger you about it. If you need it, you'll want it. And you know, end of story. I'm not going to go, you really need this, you know? You really need some ice to help build your igloos. Some of you got that. This guy that was the sales rep in my area, he could sell ice to his Eskimo. I have no doubt. Thank you, Dan. Somebody else, it's a gift. Somebody wanted it, was impressed by it. We have to learn to do the same thing with everything that we have, no matter how we got it. That it belongs to God, and that if God wants us to give it, then we give it. We're talking about generosity. You all know people who are generous, and you all know people who are so tight-fisted. They squeeze their pennies so hard they make Lincoln cry. You know people like that. You might be people like that. Stop. The tighter you hold it, the more that it slips through your hands. Like trying to, like going down the highway with your arm out the window and trying to grab the air. You've tried it, you know you have. But how did that turn out? Nothing there. When you hold tightly to the things that you have, one of the things that we need to do is we also need to not judge others on their generosity. Well, if I gave this much, they should give that much at least. They could do it. They just... It's not your call. It's not your call. What people give is between them and God. You're not the judge what they give. Now, I will say this. No, I won't. See, we're called to examine our own hearts and our own lifestyles. We're responsible to God for what we have and what we do. It's God who judges the thoughts and the intents of our heart. God doesn't like people who give grudgingly. Well, here, God said to give it to you. How do you think that makes God feel? I've liberally given you everything that you have, and you are so stingy and tight that you won't even give 20 bucks. It's not our job to condemn them for it either. Let me tell you this. What does the scripture say about condemnation? There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. So if there is condemnation, you're in league and you are agreeing and in agreement with the devil. Well, I never. Yeah, you're probably right. You never did. See, because the scripture says that condemnation doesn't come from God. Conviction will come from the Holy Spirit. But condemnation does not come from the Holy Spirit or God. Condemnation comes from the devil. So it's not our job to condemn somebody. Not your job. Way above your pay grade. Way above your pay grade. See, because sometimes we feel like people have too much. Well, they've got so much, they can afford to do it. You don't know that. You don't know what kind of bills they've got. You don't know what they're obligated to financially. So who are you to say that they have enough to give? Now, here's the caveat. How many of you know what caveat means? Caveat means the hitch. Here's the hitch. Here's the rub. God does call us to give 10%. He calls you to give 10%. And he calls you to give 10% joyfully and without grudging. See, because there is a response, there's a blessing that goes along with paying tithe. And on the other side of the coin, there's a curse that goes with not paying your tithe. Your tithe belongs to God. It does not belong anywhere else but to God. Some people like to, well, I'll give this here because it's a good cause. It doesn't work that way. Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 to 12 says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me." But you say, "Well, how have we robbed you?" Then tithe and offerings. "You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this." Only place you'll see this in the Bible. "Try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will be not room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. Nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts." Blessings. Blessing for giving the 10%. And you're not actually giving it, you're just returning it. Not yours to begin with. And neither is the 90% that you hold on to. That don't belong to you either. But God is only asking you for 10%. And it's not about the money. It's about the obedience. It's about submitting to God and who's the authority. Are you the authority or is God the authority? It's not about the money. Let me give you an illustration here. Remember I said that there's a blessing and a curse, because if you look anywhere in the Bible, the number 10 is indicative of a blessing or a curse. Anywhere you find number 10 in the Bible, there's either a blessing or a curse that goes along with that number. 10%. 10. Hello. Blessing or curse? If you're holding on to it, I guarantee that 100% won't even go as far as 80% if you had given your tithe. Because something will happen. That curse kicks in. And it's not God up there going, "You didn't pay your tithe. Curse, 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 curse. Give you the evil eye." God doesn't do that. This is a law. This is a law, just like the law of gravity, just like the law of motion. You know, those laws that are in physics that are put into play. This is one of those things. You withhold it, you're cursed. You give it, you're blessed. I know a guy, I'm not going to tell you who he is, and I'm not going to tell you where he's from, but I knew a guy one time, well, I can't tell you who he is, but no, I don't have to. The church that we were at, I'm not going to tell you which one, but at a church that we were at, we needed to build a new sound media booth, kind of like the one we have back there. Because it was really small and it didn't have enough room, and we were getting ready to do video things and to add some stuff to what was going on, and so we needed a bigger. So the guy who was running the media booth at the time, he decided that he was going to withhold his tithe and use his tithe money to pay for the construction of the booth. And he did. And you know what happened later? The business that they ran almost went out of business because they lost customers. They lost customers. They almost got kicked out of their house because they didn't have money to pay the rent. And I guarantee you, without question, there's no question and no doubt in my mind that was traced back to him withholding his tithe to do something that God did not authorize him to do with that. God is not going to tell you to take the tithe and do something else with it, because it violates the law. It violates the law. The tithe is the tithe, and the tithe is the tithe, and the tithe goes where the tithe goes. Doesn't go anywhere else. It can't. It can't go anywhere else and be blessed. And I'm going to say this too, that I don't often, and you, if you've been here around here a while, you know I don't often talk about money. Because some people get upset when you talk about money. One thing I learned years and years and years ago in church, when you're talking about money, you've got people's attention right now. They don't turn a deaf ear when you're talking about money. Kind of like Merrill Lynch. Some of you aren't. Yeah, you're all old enough to remember. Oh, maybe. When Merrill Lynch talks, everybody listens. Well, my broker's Merrill Lynch. You remember that? It's not your money to begin with. If you violate the law, there's a penalty that goes with violation of the law. We've got to get that in our heads. We've got to learn that. Not mine. God, my money is your money. And the tenth is yours. And let me say this too about the tithe. The tithe is on the gross. The tithe is not on the net. There are some people who like to play that game. I guarantee you, you are not giving God the tithe. You are giving God a portion. And part of the tithe is going to someplace else. It says, give the tithe, give the 10%, the first 10% on what you've earned. Yes? Did you not earn all the money up to the gross? Hello? It don't matter if the tax man comes in first to get it. You made all the money, including the taxes. It's on the gross. Partial obedience is not obedience. Partial obedience is disobedience. But Pastor, no buts. No buts. It's crystal clear. It couldn't be any clearer unless he tattooed it to your forehead. Do we get it? Amen. Tithe is on the gross, not the net. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 8 says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. If you're giving and you're giving generously, then God is going to multiply it back to you, pressed down, shaken together, running over. You are not going to be without. You can't. That's another one of those laws. Generously, you don't see farmers going out, and they may have 1,000 acres, and they go out and plant 100 acres and expect that 1,000 acres to yield a harvest. Yes? No? No. When they go out there, they plant the seed and they plant the whole thing. The more you give, the more that's going to come back to you. Cast your bread upon the waters, and after many days it will return to you. Generosity. Generous. so tight you open your wallet and moths fly out. Generous. It's funny. Yesterday we turned to Looney Tunes on the Boomerang Channel. And it was Yosemite Sam and Bugs Bunny. And the picture, and the newspaper, Sam was reading the paper in the window, and it's a widow inherits $50 million. So he goes and he's gonna court this lady. And so he goes to the house, he knocks on the door, and next thing it shows is the old lady, the widow, sitting in front of a fire. And you know how they put those things there with the wood that you put the fire? Well, she's got a thing there that's pretty big, and on the side of it says money to burn. And she goes, ooh, it's chilly in here, and she starts throwing cash into the That's the way we need to be with our generosity. And let me tell you this, it's not just about money. I know I've been saying stuff about money, but it's not just about money. Generous people give of themselves. Generous people are free with the things that they give, their time, who they are. Generosity. If friendly, you'll get a lot of friends. If you're not, you're not. But Pastor, I don't have any friends. Well, go and be friendly and make friends. Nobody wants to be a friend with somebody who's negative all the time. And you all know people who are like that. None of you. But everything that comes out of their mouth is negative. Generosity. Generosity. Imagine imagine a church where every person had open hands and ready to joyfully share. Imagine a world where Christians leverage everything God's given them for His glory. That kind of church can change a community. That's the kind of church we need to be. I will say this, when it comes to money, this church is generous. And I'm thankful for that. Because there are pastors who pastor churches who will just say it this way, the church isn't generous in its giving. I've been in a church where they tried to starve the pastor out because they didn't like what he was preaching. So they withheld their tithe. The saving grace was his wife was an RN who worked in the cath lab at the hospital, and she made more money than he did, and so they didn't need he made it to church. So they couldn't starve him out. And this church isn't like that, and I'm so thankful for that. But think of what we can do. Think of what we did when we came together for John Jacobs and we gave them $14,000 to touch lives of kids in public schools. Hallelujah. Generosity. Give of your time. Your time does not belong to you. Just like your finances do not belong to you. If you cannot, by worrying, add time to your life, what does that say about time? You have no control over it. It's God. It belongs to Him. Be generous with your time. Be generous with your time when it comes to church. We need you. We need you. One more thing about it. One of the lessons that we need to learn about generosity is that debt will keep you from being generous. Debt is deceitful, especially when you're trying to keep up with the Joneses. And you're going into debt to do it. And then God tells you to give something and you don't have it to give because it's already obligated to someplace else. It's obligated to that payment. That new Cadillac that you bought that now you have to pay $869 a month for. Can you believe that? I saw that commercial yesterday. $869 a month for a Cadillac. Good grief. Yeah. It's like, wow. What I want to know is where the jobs are that give you the ability to make that kind of a payment. That's the kind of job I want, right? Debt will keep you from being able to be generous. Because you're obligating your money. Be responsible. At least it's not like where if you don't pay your bills, they throw you in debtor's prison. At least we've come that far. But if you have overwhelming debt, you already feel like you're in prison. See, the power in the word is this. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 10. Now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich, let me say this, if you're going up to the casino for you're hoping to get rich quick, you fall into this. You're not going to get rich quick at a casino. Never. You're not going to get rich playing the lottery. You're not going to get rich playing scratchers. It's deceitful. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. When I worked at Cintas, I had to service a casino up in Oroville. And every day I would go into that casino and there were people in there pushing that button. You know, it used to be this. Now it's just pushing a button or sticking your card in. And they were the most miserable looking people I have ever seen in my life. And I'm talking at 8 o'clock in the morning. I'm not talking at night or in the afternoon. 8 o'clock in the morning. And people are in there hoping to hit that big one. Hoping to hit that big one. They got their rent money, hoping to get the big one. They're taking their food money, hoping to get the. They're taking their house payments, their car payments. They're taking all the money that they got and trying and hope, well, if I could just hit the big one, then I wouldn't. It doesn't work. You'll go there, sit there and do that, and it'll be the person next to you. Or you'll get up and leave and someone will sit down at the one that you just got up from and they'll hit the big one. Let me tell you this, the devil is playing you. He is playing you. There is no get rich quick. None. The only get-rich-quick scheme I know of is accepting Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Because when I've done that, I have everything that God has for me. I'm heir to everything. I'm heir to the riches of heaven. That's the only get-rich-quick scheme that pays off.
We got to be content. We can't play. We can't, you know, play keeping up with the Joneses or keeping up with the Smiths or keeping up with whoever lives next door to you or keeping up with your friends. You can't play that game because you're going to lose. You'll lose. Paul said that in Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 to 13, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased. I'm content. I know how to abound. I'm content. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You can be content in all things because it's the strength of God that gives you that contentment. When you know who you are in Christ, you're content in no matter what the situation, you're content. It's that peace of God that comes and guards your heart that gives you the contentment. It's nice to have things, but don't seek after them. You seek God, and God will supply all your need according to his riches and glory. His riches in glory. We have to focus on eternity. Focus on eternity. Because it's not about the temporal here in this life. It's not about the things that are going on right now. It's we focus on the eternity, the temporal, the earthly will take care of itself. Your priorities got to be right. Recklessly generous. Recklessly generous. You, when the Holy Spirit prompts you, give whatever it is in your hand, give it to whoever God tells you to give it to. I was sitting at a stoplight in Sacramento many years ago, and there was a homeless guy on the median, which is against the law now in Sacramento. And he was standing there with a sign. It was cold outside. It's like, dude, it's cold out here. And I was sitting there, and I'm just waiting for the light. You know how you do. I don't want to make eye contact. Just going to stare and make sure that that light's still red. And I was wearing gloves. In my car, I'm wearing gloves. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and says, give him your gloves. Okay. Here. Because he wasn't wearing any. His hands were all bright red. I had nice Thinsulate gloves on, you know. Give him your gloves. Okay. Hold on, but hold on loosely. And be reckless. And give it away. Give yourself away. Give yourself away. Give yourself away. Sometimes people want you and not what you have. Sometimes those are the most important things, is to give yourself. Somebody be going through something, you don't have to say anything. Just sit with them. Just sit with them. Let them know that you are there for them. Be generous. Recklessly generous. That kind of reckless. Let me tell you this, too. If God tells you to give some money and you've got a bill coming up and the money that you have won't pay that bill, why hold on to it? It's not going to do any good anyway. You can't pay your bill. Give it away. And then go back to Malachi chapter 3 in verse 10, and it says, and try me now in this. Try me now in this. Okay, God, I'm going to give it. And now it's up to you. I'm being obedient to what you've told me to do. I'm giving this money that you told me to give, and now it's up to you to supply my need.
And then you go back to the scripture that says, and my God will supply all my need according to his riches and glory. Don't do it on your own. You do it at the prompting of the Holy Spirit. You get yourself in a whole lot of problems doing stuff if the Holy Spirit's not telling you to do it. See, that's being recklessly reckless. You know, irresponsibly reckless, and then help, and then hoping God will bail you out. So let's all stand. How many of you want to be reckless? Recklessly generous with what you have. I know of people who've given houses away. And they're not homeless. It's because God has told them to do it. When God is in it, God's directing you, God will supply. How many of you want to be that? Do you hold on so loosely that God says and speaks and says, give, I want you to, then you give, and you can't give fast enough? How many of you want to be like that? Think about what God can do when we do, when we're like that. God will move. Raise your hands. I want you to begin to thank God for the things that you have. And I want you to begin to tell God and to ask God to help you to be recklessly generous. Father, in the name of Jesus, oh God, help us to be recklessly generous. God, thank you for what we have. Thank you for the blessings that you've given us. Lord, the blessings that are overflowing in our bosom. God, I thank you for what you've given us. God, for the life that you gave us, for the food that you give us, for the homes that you give us, Lord, for the finances that you give us, for the kids that you give us, for the grandkids you give us, everything you've given us is yours. Help us to be good stewards, Lord, and be recklessly generous with the things you've entrusted to us, because they ultimately belong to you. Oh, Lord, help us. Help us to see people the way you see them. Help us to love them the way you love them. Help us to give the way you gave. Father, help us to give without expecting in return. Cheerfully and joyfully saying, and looking for opportunities to give. Lord, help us open our eyes to the opportunities that are all around us to give. And as you, Holy Spirit, speak to us, help us and enable us to give those things that you're telling us to give. Lord, that you give us divinely appointed encounters for generosity. Divinely appointed encounters for love. Divinely appointed encounters to be a touch point for the kingdom of God. Father, we thank you. Father, we love you. Give us purpose, Lord. Give us purpose in our heart to advance the kingdom of God, generously giving the thing that you gave us, and that was life, life more abundantly. Father, we praise you. We thank you for all answered prayer. Thank you for the abilities and the opportunities to show yourself strong, Lord, because you never fail. And all God's people said, amen, amen, amen. Look for those opportunities this week, that the Holy Spirit will guide you into opportunities. And let me tell you, say this, if you're not tithing, start. Oh, but Pastor, I can't afford to. No, you can't afford not to. Just like the children of Israel wandered around for 40 years and their clothes never wore out and their shoes never wore out because they had the blessing of Almighty God. Now, I'm not saying that he's going to let us go 40 years and not ever have a change of clothes. We really look funny being out of date like that. How many of you would want to wear the clothes from 40 years ago today? I know some of them have come back and have gone again. It's, you know, so in a year or two, it all might come back. You know, my wife says, I should have kept all my clothes from the 70s. Yeah, we could have made a fortune. But when you give, and I'm not just talking about money. When you give, God will give back to you. It's the law. It's the law. It's called the law of reciprocity. If you've never heard of it, give and it's be given you. You know, reciprocal. You give, you get. Now here's a caveat. There's that word again. If you're giving to get, it don't work that way. It's not a genie in a lamp. You give with open hands, you give with open arms, you give with open heart. You give because God tells you, expecting nothing in return, and God will heap back to you, multiplied more than what you gave. Go out and give. Recklessly. Here's something that you can give and it's free. Recklessly give out smiles. There's not enough smiles going around. Give them out. Smile. Smile. Brother Lloyd, would you close in prayer, please?